Lord, how we thank you and we bless you. Thank you for your presence that's in this place, Lord. Thank you for the love of God that's in this place, Lord. Thank you for your people that carry your presence into this place. We know a building is just a building, but it's the Spirit of God that comes within God's people that make it a godly place. So we thank you for your presence, Lord. Now we ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, as we try our best to navigate daily, Lord, through a dark, dying, decaying, fallen world, we need your word to tell us what to do, what not to do, what to say, how to think, where to go. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that comes from your word, the guidance and direction that comes from following you. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to guess or try and figure it out on our own. You've given us the blueprint, which is the word of God. Bless your word now and bless your people, Lord. Open our hearts to receive and to hear what God is saying to us this morning, November 8th, 2015. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I did say Ephesians, amen. And we apologize for the screen not being up this morning. So we just have to do it the good old-fashioned way. Amen?
Amen.
Like you have your Bibles. Most of us have a mobile device, and you can pull up your Bible app. You should have a Bible app on your phone if you don't have your Bible with you. Amen? And our youngsters, that doesn't mean the Bible texting app. So, youngsters, you should be reading and not texting. Not the Bible Facebook app, amen? Should not be on Facebook in church or on Instagram. Unless you're tweeting out the word of God and Instagramming the word of God, amen? And family, here we are again as we are finishing the year. We have November, December, 2 months, less than 2 months before we say Happy New Year. So remember, we're not trying to stumble into 2016. We're trying to walk strong into 2016. So let's finish 2015 strong. Let's not wait to the new year to try and put things in order. Let's seek God and get in order before the year is out. Two things I want to encourage you in: your fasting and praying daily, and the reading of the Proverbs. If you've read this morning, it's in chapter 8, because today's the 8th. And just the wisdom of God is just incredible, flowing through chapter 8. So I encourage you, make that a practice. Guard your mind, guard your heart, guard the anointing on your life, guard what God is doing in your life by living right and seeking God. Amen. Ephesians 3 and 14, I added this to our prayer list. So if you're looking for things to include in your early morning prayer, this is it, 3 and 14 through 20. So we'll pick it up at 14. For this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Paul speaking. So Paul is saying, I'm praying and I'm seeking God on behalf of himself and of the people at the church of Ephesus. Remember, it's the wealth of the believer, the walk of the believer, and the warfare, which is covered in Ephesians. And right here, he's talking about the wealth, the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. Remember, it's not the things that money could buy. It's everything else that we need: the peace, the love, the joy, the comfort, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the meekness, the temperance, is what he's saying that we're rich in through the Spirit of God. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We talked about that. We talked about God's creative handprint on everything, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in your inner man. So Paul is praying that our inner man would be strengthened, our inner person, our inner woman, for the ladies in the audience. Amen. Now we get to a very interesting verse 17. that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Amen. It's the only way Christ gets into your heart. And that word faith is by trust, it's commitment, it's belief. And you invite Christ into your heart. That's the way we're saved. The scriptures say in Romans 10 and I believe it's 10 and 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall commit their life and their heart to Jesus Christ shall be saved. In Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then it's interesting to see that you being rooted and grounded in love. Highlight that. So God is saying, in addition to all that, here's the prayer that you are rooted and grounded in love. The word rooted means established. And the word grounded means, in the Greek, it means your foundation is in love. That we're established and that our foundation is based on love. We know that God is love. We also know that God is love and God is the rock. Jesus is the rock. So he's saying that everything that you do should be grounded in love. So it just... turn with me to Matthew 7. It took me back there. We've gone over this very familiar passage before. But look at Matthew 7. When we're talking about being grounded, what is your foundation? What are you building your life on? What are you building your house on? What are you building your family on? What are you building your singleness on? What are you building your marriage on? What are you building your relationship on? Paul says it needs to be rooted and grounded in love. We'll come back to love, but it just took me here. Matthew 7 and 24. And Jesus had just talked about in chapter 7 about judging and asking the golden rule. He talks about false teachers and he talks about the true way to kingdom. He also talks about there's two ways and the straight gate and the narrow gate. And then he talks about those that will say, Lord, Lord, in that day. And then he gets to the parable of the two builders. What are you building? What are we building our lives on? What are we building our church on? What are we building our ministry on? It has to be rooted and grounded in love. It has to be built with the wisdom of God, the rock of Jesus Christ. So here we are in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Underline that wise man. And that man is translated as mankind, which means man and woman. So for our youth, you make sure that you want to be a wise youth and not a foolish youth. And those of us that are not so young, that we want to be wise and not foolish, seasoned saints. Or as we get into the senior years of our life, we still need to be wise. He said, I liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock, that rock being Jesus Christ. So only you really know in your heart of hearts what you're building your house on. But you see in verse 25, even though the house was built on the rock, the rain still descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat upon that house. So it doesn't matter if you're built on the rock, you still got to deal with some stuff. You still got to go through some stuff, but the only thing that makes the difference is because it's built on that solid foundation. It's rooted and grounded in love. That love being the rock of Jesus, the wisdom of Jesus. Say, beat upon the house and it fell not, for it was founded. You should have to underline it was founded. It was established. It was grounded. It was set upon the rock. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. That's the word saying that you're foolish, you're brutish, even the translation stupid. That's the word. Which built his house upon the sand. That doesn't even make sense. You all know. Why would you build your house on sand? When we go to the, right, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Anybody ever been to the beach? Anybody ever seen a beach? All right. And you know, we would build those sand castles and they look so nice. We'd have a lot of fun. But you come back even within a few minutes, it all depends on how high the waves were, and it was gone. Then we start building again. You don't want your relationships like that. That every year you're building a new relationship. Every year you're building a new house. Every year you're building a new job, because everything's built on sand. You're not seeking God. You're not going after God. And it only washes away. Because look what happens with the house that's built on sand. Verse 27. See, the same thing happened. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds, the same thing, and it beat upon that house. So whether you built on the rock of Jesus Christ or the foolish sand, same thing happens. It says, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It's tough when that sand falls apart. The same thing happens. Some preach the gospel that, that you don't have any issues once you're in Christ. That's not true. Skies open up, you walk around singing every day, and you had not a care in the world. That's not true. We see here that the difference is the house being built on the rock and not the sand. The same thing happened. And so, family, as believers, when things happen to us, we respond differently because we're built on the rock. And you shouldn't be surprised when things try to fall apart. Where you have issues on your job, where you have issues at home, in your marriage, in your singleness, with your kids. How many have kids? How many ever seen a kid? The winds, the storms, they're coming. And we can't be surprised because we expect that. But it's based upon what you built your house on. I remember when our oldest daughter was a teenager, and we would talk to people with teenagers who had teenagers and their kids were grown. And we would ask them, tell us it's going to get better. Tell us. And they say, oh, when they get in their 20s, it's going to be a whole different world. It's going to be that relationship will be back. It'll be totally different. We go, thank you. Because you really wonder sometimes. But because it was built on the rock, it stood. Your kids are going to be kids. Teenagers are going to be teenagers. And kids, parents are going to be parents. You're not going to like us. It's a certain time in your life you really shouldn't like us too much. But that's okay. We're building you up on the rock. We're building our house on the rock, and it's going to stand. And you'll grow up and you'll get old, and then you'll get married and have your kids. Notice the order. And we're going to be praying that you build your house on the rock. Because if you build it on sand, it's going to be a tough life. So we're teaching our youngsters now to build their house on the rock. You don't want to have a sandy day at the beach. You don't. Ever in life. It's always got to be on the rock. So that's the foundation. It's rooted and grounded. But then I got to get back to this love thing. Let's go back to Ephesians. So then we have the issue that it should be rooted and grounded in love. So I know that God is love. I know Jesus is the rock. I know that's my foundation. But when you break down the word love, it's the agape love. And so then you have to try and figure out, so what does that look like in my life, in my home? What does it look like to be rooted and grounded in love? So I was trying to figure it out. So I was going to go to the movies and see what movies had the word love in them. And I went to TV, and I remember the old show, The Love Boat, but that was more like The Lost Boat. Or The Lust Boat. So that way that didn't really count. So I tried to find it in the music. So I went to old school, new school, and in between. The Supreme said you can't hurry love. The OJ said it was the love train. Soft Cell said it was tainted love. Dinah Ross said she had a love hangover. The Bee Gees wanted to know, how deep is your love? Gary Barlow said, love won't wait. Foreigner said, I want to know what love is. Jennifer Lopez said, love don't cost a thing. Mariah Carey said, love takes time. Bon Jovi said, you give love a bad name. Phil Collins said it was a groovy kind of love. Dionne Warwick, before the Psychic Network, she said, what the world needs is love. And then, of course, you know, Tina Turner said, yeah, you go, what's love got to do with it? So I still don't know what love is, right? The culture didn't give me any answers. So I had to go back to the Word. Led me to 1 Corinthians 13. I was trying to find it, Sister Kathy. I was trying to find it in some of my favorite songs, but it still didn't make sense. It didn't show me. So then here's Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. Chapter 13 and verse 1. And Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men, and Paul is talking about who you are right now. So if you're making a note, put a side note. This is talking about who you are. Verses 1 and 2 talks about who you are. And Paul is saying, I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not love, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. He said, if I don't have love behind what I do, and he's going to explain love in just a minute. He says, all I'm doing is making a lot of noise. You can come to church every week, you can go to your job every week, and you don't love the people there. You're not operating with the agape love. That's what it said in the unconditional love, where you love people despite and in spite of themselves. You say, you ain't doing nothing but making noise. Verse 2, he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and listen to what verse 2 is saying. He's talking about who he is. He has the gift of prophecy, and he understands all mysteries and all knowledge. He knows everything, he understands everything, and he can see stuff coming. And he said he has all faith, too, so that his faith is so strong he could move mountains. Could move issues and situations. Get out the way, get out the way, get out the way. And he said, but if I don't have love, I am not a thing. I am nothing. He said, you could brag about who you are all day long and what you can do, but if there's no love behind it, not in God's kingdom, it don't even count. Doesn't even count. Now he goes from who he is and what he has, and then he goes to what he does. Verse 3. So here's what he does. I give all my goods to feed the poor. And though I give my body to be burned, he said, you can make sacrifices, you can give your stuff away, you can put on a show, but if you have love, he goes back to saying it's nothing. Wow. So we have to be careful trying to base people on what they do and what they have. And if it's not done with the spirit of the love that based on God's word is really nothing. You all know love is an action. It is a verb. And then in verse 4, he breaks it down. He says, so if we're really rooted, remember, his prayer to the church at Ephesus was that you're rooted and grounded in this, in love, in this type of love. First, he said in verse 4, now he gets to what love is. He said, love suffereth long. Love is patient. Love takes its time. We tell our young ladies all the time, young ladies, if some guy says that he loves you and if you loved him, he would give you some or whatever that sum is. And if you loved him, you would do it, whatever that it is. But right here, the word says love is patient. Amen. So if he really loved you, he'd wait for you. All Because that's the action that love displays. It's patient, it suffers long, and it's kind. And just because you didn't do it or wouldn't go, it's still kind. That's real love. He doesn't turn around and talk about you and put you down and start acting crazy. I don't ever want to see you again. Then you know that's not real love. That's, as the song would say, that's tainted love. Because love is patient and kind. I mean, it's one of the toughest things, and I'm going to get myself in trouble, but you know, one of the toughest things is just to be married. God allows you to practice all the fruit of the Spirit daily. Amen. Amen. You practice the fruit of the Spirit daily. It's you have to practice love. There's no way you can say you love your spouse and you're not patient and kind with them. It's just not. It just can't happen. Not the godly love right here. So Paul starts breaking it down as God speaking through him what love really is. And we got to be rooted and grounded in patience and kindness inside the church and behind closed doors at home. That's where the love shows up. Oh, it gets better. He said that it envieth not. So it's and it was the heated anger because somebody has something. It's not like you see somebody with a nice pair of shoes. That's a nice pair of shoes. Oh, that's a nice pair of shoes. That's a nice purse. Oh, you give them a compliment. But envy, you're upset. You're actually angry because they have it and you don't. That's a whole nother level of crazy. But that's what envy and jealousy does. It said, love is not like that. Then it goes on and it say that love is not arrogant. It doesn't brag on itself. That would vaunt it not itself. It doesn't brag. Oh, we have fun and we kind of fool around every now and then. And yeah, look, well, oh, that's nice. You got this. You got, okay, all right. That's different. But when you're bragging, that's all you do, as to put other people down. And then it says it's not puffed up, which means it's not arrogant. You don't throw stuff in people's face and you're better than them and this, that, the other. That's not love. God is saying we need to be rooted and grounded in real love. It's a tall order. You got to practice that. That's a whole level of spiritual maturity that we're trying to get to. Then verse 5, it says, does not behave itself unseemly. It's not rude. Love is not rude. Don't slam the door in your face. Don't hang up on you. Don't cuss you out. Ivy, I knew my mic was... Where's Ivy at? Did you fix my mic this morning? Chris, did you double check my mic? All right. So let me get back to... It's not rude. It doesn't scream in your face. It doesn't point in your face. It doesn't call you out of your name. It's not rude. Not love. It's not... He said you got to be rooted and grounded in the opposite of that stuff. I've done many weddings as a pastor, and everyone wants this, what love is. This is more than just words on a page for when you get married. This is for married and single folks. This is for everybody. We all need to practice this stuff. It looks so cute when it's folded up in a little scroll, and love is kind, and love is patient, and love is... Man, you get home and act a fool. Forget everything you just read. It's a tough one, man. If I'm reading this, Brother Danny, I'm convicted. I'm like, wow, I got to step my love game up. But see, this is the beauty of God's word. God has left nothing to chance. You don't have to guess how I should treat my wife or my kids or the church family. I don't have to guess. It's all here. And when we line it up with God's word, it works the way God wants it to work. So it's not rude. It doesn't seek its own. It's not me against you. It's not God us for no more. It's not out for itself. It's not easily provoked. You can sit there and mess with love all day and love and say, I'm good. You don't even bother me. I still love you and ain't even no problem. Do what you want to do. It's not easily provoked. We don't get all upset and all bent out of shape because this, that, or the other. Love does not operate that way. It is not easily provoked. And then look at this one. It says it thinks no evil. What do you mean love doesn't? Love doesn't even think about doing anything evil to anyone. That's deep. Love would just as well pray for someone than to think about hating someone. Love would want to give them a gift, to give them, they ask for what the word says. If somebody asks for your shirt, you give them your coat too. If they ask you for something to eat, you give them a something to drink too. Love, that's the way love operates. It's not going to get upset and start thinking evil. It's going to give you more than you ask for. It's not going to be provoked. And then number six, it does not rejoice in iniquity. It doesn't get excited about sin. Doesn't brag about being married and have a girlfriend. Doesn't brag about being married and have a boyfriend. Guys, did you fix my mic this morning? It doesn't brag about being single and having some sugar daddy. Or just a doctor feel good for when my needs need to be met. It doesn't brag about lying to parents and sneaking around. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It doesn't rejoice in sin. It doesn't rejoice because I'm stealing from the job and they don't even know it. Man, look at all this I got from the job. They don't even know it. It doesn't brag about stuff like that. Love doesn't. Say, but it rejoices in the truth. And doing what's right because it's the right thing to do. And being right with God because that's the best place to be. Boy, got to step our love game up. Because Paul said, as he's praying that prayer, that we would be rooted and grounded in this type of love. I don't even have to make it up. All I have to do is just teach the word and exegete the text. Sister Cheryl, you like that word exegete. Your pastor's been studying a little bit, Sister Sherry. Trying to sign intelligiment. Then verse 7, it gets a little deeper. It says that it bears all things. So I looked up the beareth in the Greek, and it means to cover, to protect faults and errors with silence. Oh, that's what beareth means. I cover, protect errors with silence. So then you think about it, and you know, it's just kind of tough, right? Especially for those of us, number one, that are married or belong to a family, right? Which is everyone in here. Because if it bears all things, if it covers you and protects with silence, because you know what? Being married makes you vulnerable. Because your spouse should know things about you that no one else does. Hopefully, and I know there's exceptions, but you should share things with your spouse that you share with no one else, which makes you vulnerable. And if you're sharing things with others and your others know more about your spouse than you, that's another conversation for another time. I don't have enough time to cover that right now. But so it leaves you vulnerable. So my wife knows things about me that I hope she would never share with others. You cover with silence. I know things about her that I would never share because I'm love bears. It don't want to put you out on blast. But then here's the other side of that coin with family members. It's nothing like being hurt by family members because they know you growing up. They know inside and out everything about you. And they can put that knife in and turn it and dig deep, because that's family, because they know. And then the other thing is, the other relationship is parent to kids. We know things about our kids that they don't even know, because they don't remember when, but we do. And we could put them on blast and say this and just cut them down really deep. And they know things about the parents because they see things that go behind closed doors and nobody else sees. I remember the joke was, the quietest place is a church parking lot, because they didn't argue so much getting to church, and they get to church and they got to get quiet before they go in. And the kids know stuff that, and they could put the parents on blast. And you all remember when your kids were young. And, you know, they would say anything. Hey, Mom, remember last night Daddy slapped you? I was like, what? What? We sitting with some friends. Hey, remember Daddy slapped you last night? What? Oh, yeah, we was just playing. Oh, my gosh. Mom, remember you cussed Daddy out in the car? Oh. Oh, hey, anybody have kids? Anybody ever seen a kid? Mm-hmm. They know stuff about us we don't want them to repeat. Hey, and you know, old school parents, they were really, you don't talk, whatever happens in this house, you don't talk about outside. It stays in there. You don't talk about outside this house. Amen. We've even said it. That's what this word bear. It means you cover it with silence. You don't. Stuff I'll never repeat. Because love, that's what love does. It doesn't want to just put people out there. Love doesn't have to do that. Now, hate does that, and envy does that. They want to put you on blast. They want to hate on you. Want to let everybody know what you're like, as if we all have it together. Somebody say amen. So it says that, verse 7 again, that love, it bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes, which means it trusts all things, it endures. And that word endureth means it patiently suffers, and it remains, it patiently suffers all things. Wow. We need help from the Holy Spirit on that, boy. So I'm getting tired of patiently suffering through this. Amen. And then verse 8, the first one, it says, the first verse, it says, love never fails. When you operate in that type of love, it talks about how it never fails. Then it goes on and does a comparison with the other things, but we got to save that for next week. It's 10:30. If we could just bow our heads just for a minute. As God is telling us to finish the year strong, be rooted and grounded in love. And then when 2016 starts, be rooted and grounded in love. On your job, in your home, in your singleness, in your marriage, discern what love and love is, and discern what love isn't. God, you're calling us just to a higher level of maturity in you. Not business as usual. The world is going about business as usual, Lord, but you've called us out, the church, the ecclesia. You've called us the called out ones, and you're saying we should not be business as usual. Challenging us to live this thing, to practice this Christian life daily. So we thank you for the challenge, Lord. We want to grow. We don't want to be the same. We don't want a feel good message. We want a feel God message. And we thank you, Lord, for the challenge this morning. And Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. I can't do this. Well, you're right. You never can do it in and of yourself. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We'd never be at a love like this apart from the Holy Spirit, which seals, which fills and seals us, which dwells inside of us. Wouldn't stand a chance, could never do it. Maybe you're saying, Pastor, I need to get right with. I've never accepted Christ. I need to accept Christ into my heart this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I don't want to finish the year the way that it started. I want to finish the year different and go into 2016 just rooted and grounded in love and walking this thing. If you want to make today the day that you rededicate your life, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I'm looking for a church home. I've come, I've visited, I've never joined, and God's leading me to join. Maybe that's you. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love to be your family and love to be your pastor, love to have you here to find your method of reaching the world here through South Bay for Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. You're looking for a church home. Lord, how we thank you, how we bless you, how we love you. Lord, there's none like you, nothing too hard for you. I'm going to ask my sister Regina to come on up and thank God for going to ask some of the ladies just to surround her and like we always do, and we just come and lay hands and surround your back, and we don't have a knife in it. Hey, man, we cover you. We bear all things. We're not going to put anything out there on Facebook and all this other kind of stuff. We cover with silence. It's between you and God. Thank you, Lord, for the whole Sister Washington family, Lord. Gina, Tara, Sister Washington, Ivy, Lord, thank you for all they've meant to this ministry here. Thank you for their life. Thank you for the legacy. Thank you for the God seed that's inside of Regina. Thank you for stirring it up, Lord. She rededicates her life to Christ. We thank you, Lord, that your word says that you're faithful and just. If we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we thank you for that, Lord. We can't work to be saved. We could never do enough to be saved. But we accept the free gift of salvation. We accept the free gift of forgiveness, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for another chance just to get it right.
Yes, Jesus.
So we walk this thing daily as we confess our sins daily because we sin daily.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that you will be sinless, but it means that you will sin less.
Yes.
So we walk with God. That's why we need a Savior, Jesus Christ, because he did what we couldn't do for ourselves. God, thank you for the atonement of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and shedding his blood for us. So we don't have to do the drink offering and the peace offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering and the meat offering. Christ died once and for all the offerings.
Thank you, Jesus.
We love you for that, Lord. We accept the free gift of salvation. Rededication. We're not trying to earn anything, Lord. We're trying to live for you because you've already done it. There's nothing left to be earned. It's all about being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Because we are saved, because we are forgiven, because we're so grateful and thankful for you dying for us on that cross and resurrecting on that third day. Thank you, Lord, for our sister. We cover her now. With arms of love, with hands of healing, we cover her now, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Love you, Sister Jenny.
Beautiful.
If you all would stand to your feet. You all that can come out on Wednesday night. Bible study has been extremely powerful if you're available to come out. And remember, just once a month, if you can, make your way out. If not, pray for Wednesday night. Pray for Friday and Saturday, and then pray for next Sunday. And you all have a blessed week. Give someone a hug. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.